Read me romance. Read, read me romance. Read me romance. Read, read me romance.
You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and
read me romance. Read, read me romance.
Lady listeners.
No.
No. That
absolutely
so
not.
Bad.
Absolutely not.
Oh.
I almost want to start over, but that's too much.
No.
Work.
I'm not clicking any more buttons, but you're never.
You guys,
do
they're
that again.
So mean. Like, if you.
Fuck
I
you.
I can't believe. Nobody ever comes up to me and
Listen,
says...
Listen, you know what we were just talking about?
It's are you okay? Are they nice to you?
No.
Are they only mean on...
Oh, you know what? You haven't heard the week we recorded yet. In real time, you haven't heard where Mel's like, well, the boss will be back tomorrow. And I was like, don't fucking say that shit! Don't give Tessa...
Why am I the boss?
Don't give Tessa that power! Don't you fucking dare!
I don't want to be the boss.
I'll be the boss. I'll run this shit right into the ground.
I just work here, okay?
I just work here. Like it's a Staples.
Yeah. Somebody asked, I don't know. I just work here. I don't know what they're doing.
That's Melissa's life. I am not in charge of that.
Mel's literally like she just emails me. She's like, just tell me what to write and what to do.
I don't want any more responsibility.
And I'll do it. Yeah. Tell me exactly what you want and then I'll send it to you.
I'll do it. I'll get it done. I'll get it done on time.
Meanwhile, Tessa's like, oh, what about this and this and this and this? Yeah. Mm-hmm. She loves bossing us around. Don't let her fool you. She's totally
but I do it
fine.
Like I do it nicely. Like I make it seem like it's everybody's
whatever.
Idea.
I'm like, I don't want to hear you complain. Hey,
I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, what? I'm like, stop with the question mark. Put a period.
Like, is this okay? This is okay.
Yeah. Is this okay, period?
Well, this is what we were just talking about with your covers. You were like, I really appreciated the last time I sent you a cover and you told me it was shit.
Yeah.
You're like, this, I felt okay with that. I was like, good.
Sometimes I felt bad because somebody else sent me something. I'm like, that's terrible.
Well, it is really valuable to have somebody that like, you know, you have your friends for different reasons. You have the friend that's always going to pump you up and make you feel good, and even if they shouldn't. And then you have the friend who's like, that looks awful. No one's going to buy it. Don't do it. Your reputation will be ruined.
Mel slowly raises her hand. That's you don't like money. Is that's what?
Yeah.
This cover
oh, I'm
tells
sorry.
Me.
I thought you liked money. Yeah. That was the funniest thing Mel ever said to me.
I think I get that from my mom. She's just very blunt about things. She's like, no. And I'm like, okay. On to the next.
No, I like it though. Like after a while, I think probably in the beginning when we first started texting a lot, it probably hurt my feelings. And then now I'm just like Teflon. Don't even feel it.
Well, you guys were talking about you have certain friends that do certain things. I went and seen my mom so hard.
Yeah.
A couple weeks ago, and I
oh,
died.
Oh, yeah, talk about that. We didn't
I
even talk about it.
I died when one of the girls says, you know, when your friend is feeling real down, and so you do everything you can to boost them up. She's like, we don't do that. We just get right on down there with them.
Yeah, we're like, oh, you had a shit day? Here, my day. Let me tell you what happened
like,
to me.
And she's like, remember that time that I blah, blah, blah?
Yeah. And it's like, you want to complain? Look, I'll find, even if it's my best day, I will find something to complain about so that we're on the same level.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just get down there with her.
Oh, yeah. So Mel went to go see A Mom So Hard. These two ladies, Kristen and Jen, that we love. I think we talked about them a couple weeks ago when their book came out. So the book is called Hashtag, it's all one word, A Mom So Hard. And it's, and they even said, like, they were like, don't bring this to your book club with ideas on how to be a better mom. This is just our shit show. Like, this is just ways to make you feel better. And it's so fun. That's what they said. They were like, have a book club with this, get some wine, like, everybody sit around and talk about all the shit you fucked up as a parent, because this is what it's for. So Mel, they had a book signing near them, near Jen's hometown. And so Jen is from, I think, Missouri, or she was like military or whatever, and her family lives there. So they had, like I said, they had a signing there, and Mel went, and I was like, okay, I want you to do this, and when you meet them, I want you to do this, and da 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 da. And then I didn't hear from her for like 6 hours, and I text her, I was like, so tell me what happened, what did they say? And she was like, I didn't go up there. And I was like, fuck you, Mel. Like, I can't believe this.
You could go up and take pictures and stuff. And she's like, you didn't go up there. I'm like, do you not know me? Of course I didn't go up there.
I was like, god damn it! And when I'm not with her, isn't she won't funny, come though, do that
you
this
guys
shit.
Are probably you guys are probably get nervous to go up to Alexa Riley's table at a book signing, and she won't go up to somebody else.
No.
At an actual book signing.
At like, an actual,
you are you do like it yourself legit. For a living.
Yes.
Oh I just said that I come to listen and then I leave.
Like, okay. And I was like, I'm gonna kill you.
They were fun. This is, they were really funny. I enjoyed listening to them talk, and they kind of reminded me, you know, sometimes we joke that we just write smut, fluffy stuff for your mm-hmm. enjoyment, but then I forget that, you know, sometimes we do get those emails that are just like, you know, I've been going through a hard time and reading your books is it helped me get through it, and it was light and fun, and it took mm-hmm. me out of reality for a moment, and I appreciate that. And they said that they have that where, you know, moms reach out to them, and they're like, I feel like I was being a shitty mom, and today you just made me feel good and reminded me that somebody else can be there. And it's kind of reminded me of, you know, sometimes what we're doing is a little helpful in a small way, even if it's just smut. It kind of...
Yeah.
They made me feel good when I was there. They're great about that.
Well, because you're like, you relate to the heroine. You like, you relate to the characters in the book. It makes you feel like you're not alone, you know? Like, it makes you feel like, oh, like, when they're going through their own problems and they've got something shitty happening in their present or their past, like, it makes you, I don't know.
Yeah.
It just makes you feel like you're not alone on this planet. Mm-hmm. But I was talking to a lot of moms over the weekend, well, a couple weekends ago in Chicago. I recommended them that they were saying that they have a hard time. Actually, one of them was a grandmother who raises her grandkids. And you know how like it can be really isolating just mm-hmm. being alone all day by yourself. And hopefully this podcast is helping with that. Just like having something in your ear. But also there's this Facebook group called Garbage Moms. And I feel like if you like I Mom So Hard, you might like this Facebook group.
Nice.
It's called Garbage Moms, comma, doing our best to make it nice, exclamation point. Like, it actually says exclamation point in parentheses. And it's basically, I'm a member, and, you know, it's because, like, we have this social media generation of, like, look at me smiling with my kid in a pumpkin patch. And it's just like that. And I'm guilty of it. I do. Yeah. Everybody does it.
Yeah.
So, but you don't see the moments behind the scenes where your kid is just being a total jerk and, you know, like, you're
unreasonable.
Yeah. You're upset and you're, you know, probably not being a good mom or whatever. But, like, it happens to everybody. And anyways, this is kind of a group dedicated to that sentiment of just, like, you know, we're doing our best here, but this sucks sometimes. And now they only have like 800 members, so it's probably going to jump today.
Yeah.
But yeah, Garbage Moms, doing our best to make it nice. It's pretty cute. And everybody in there is really
down to
earth.
I like that. I'm going to go get all up in that.
Yeah, get in there. Okay, so what we this is Read Me Romance, the podcast, by the way.
What's Friday? They should have it figured out.
Oh my God. We're here for the final installment of Grading Curves by Naima Simone. And it's been fabulous, I'm sure. Like, I'm sure in headquarters she's been, like, participating all week and you guys are in love with her. So I know you guys are dying to get to that. But we are going to read dirty scenes from each other's books today. We had somebody ask us to do it a while back, maybe in headquarters.
Here
we are.
Or to read, like, part of our own dirty books. But then Tessa had this great idea that we would read each other's books. And she was like, maybe not read mine, but I'll read yours. So, yeah. Which was a compromise. So, you're going to read Trailer Park Virgin, but you were like, should I read it in a Southern accent? And then I said, wait a second, because I'm going to read your book in a Southern accent, and I'm not going to mean to do it. So, you can make them a New Yorker if you want to, like, go
balls
deep.
Well, where does this take place? Do you guys remember?
We never really know. Like, just think
a trailer park in the sky.
Isn't it just a small town trailer park? Just focus on that.
Because when I, because like honestly,
who cares where they are?
Sometimes when I read stuff from Alexa Riley, I do hear Leah's voice. Like. Sometimes Mel's, but Leah talks more, so I think I hear her voice, so that's why I'm
reading this. Well, I do a lot more dialogue normally than Mel does in our writing. I usually write out
this is a lot of dialogue.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Which scene did you pick?
Mel
picks it. There's a lot of dialogue.
And the heroine's name is Tessa. Did you know that, Mel, when you picked it out?
I might have changed it.
You did?
Yeah.
Oh my god. I was like, this is clever. And then it's, you changed it. Uh-huh. You are.
But what did you know,
whenever I pick stuff, like, because I pick out our teasers and stuff, it feels weird to pick my own stuff. I don't know why. I just go to her chapters.
Well, and most of the time, when even she says, like, hey, can we get some teasers? Or does, like, anybody have a favorite line from the arc or whatever? Most people pull dialogue because they don't, like, it's not inner monologue that they want, that they're, what's their favorite lines. It's usually what someone says is their favorite lines. And I normally do more dialogue, especially during, like, dirty stuff, so
that's always I remember, like, way back in the day when you guys were blogging and I was first starting out, you guys did a podcast for a while with Eagle.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And I remember you and then you tweeted at me saying that you were talked about me on the podcast that week, yeah. So I listened to it, and you were talking about my teasers. That was what you were like, Tessa Bailey does good teasers. She puts that dirty stuff in those teasers.
Did it sound like, raspy and redneck, and that, like you just did it?
I don't, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, it was probably absolute shit quality. We had maybe about a dozen episodes or more, and we had it, like, it was through some other, like, publishing channel or something that did it.
Well, that was so long ago, like, the technology was different.
We would have to call into a number. And I forget, like, it would, remember it would say in the recording, like, you've reached whatever it was, like, audio something. They were like, after the beep, you'll join your party. And then you would join all together. We would talk on our phones. So the quality was absolutely shit. And then it would, once you finish recording, it would go to their website and you could upload it there and then share the link. But I forget, like...
Well, it was memorable because I also remember Mel saying something about how she doesn't like when heroes cry. Or was that you, Leah?
Probably both
Leah.
Of us.
Yeah, Leah.
Yeah,
Leah.
That, I was gonna. I don't like.
And then she
all.
Made some cry.
I do not. Fuck.
You've made one cry before. Yes,
no,
you have.
Never.
Yes, you have.
No. Did he get kicked in the balls?
No, it was like a really emotional moment. I think when he had a kid or something. So I remember.
Oh, that's fine. Okay. That's fine.
Yeah, maybe that. I could see that then. That's the only time you're allowed to cry. That's the only time I've ever seen
during a fight that he cries.
No. The only time I've ever seen my dad cry is when my sister was born.
I can't. I don't like it. I get uncomfortable.
I know.
And I'm the first person to be like, we shouldn't push these, you know, gender norms on people.
Exactly.
And, like, men should be allowed to cry.
I realize it's a ridiculous standard. Yes.
Yeah, like when I just remember, no, this is going to bring me down. Forget I said anything.
I know. Let's not.
Let's not talk about funerals. On Friday morning, let's try to keep the mood up. We're about to read a scene from Trailer Park Virgin by Alexa Riley.
Oh my God,
and this is
I
in the point
wait.
Of view of Rick, who I'm sure is an upstanding citizen.
I always now when I look back at it, I always picture Rick from The Walking Dead, but at the time I didn't. So.
Oh, I'm gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, okay, so but there's two men in the scene.
That's
is that
his
correct?
Son.
Wait. Set this up for me. Set up the scene.
I don't know what
they're
she
about
is.
To
She's
play
in the
a game.
She's in the kitchen making dinner for her stepdad and stepbrother. And they're about to come home from working at the factory. But dad gets home first.
It doesn't matter what factory. None of that matters. It's just a factory.
And she's been cleaning and getting dinner ready and noticing her panties are missing again.
Aww. She's always forgetting to put on panties.
No, I mean,
Tessa.
Like, they've been stolen so many times, she's out. She doesn't know where they're going.
They've been stolen so many times
like,
she's out.
Why do I have any panties? Where
no, wasn't this one
gone?
Of the shortest, this is one of the shortest novellas you've written, is that right?
Yeah, it's like 10,000 words, barely.
Can you tell I'm stalling? I haven't read it through, I haven't read, I read the book when it came
so
out,
long
but.
Ago. When I read it. I read over the chapter before I sent it. I was like, I cringed a little bit. I'm like, ah, fuck it.
No, look, this is a safe zone here, you guys.
No, I cringed because some of the writing. It feels young.
Here I go. I can't stop smiling. My cheeks hurt. Okay. You trying to play games with me, Tessa? I tear my eyes away from her pussy to look up at her face. No, Daddy Rick. She bites her bottom lip and her cheeks flush pink. You're old enough now to start taking care of some extra chores around here. You're a big girl now, and it's time. She nods nervously at me and starts to let the hem of my shirt drop from her hand. Oh no, pick that up. You're going to be giving me some extra attention and making good on staying here. Your brother and I work hard to keep a good place for you. You like it here, don't you, baby?
Yes.
Her answer is quick. Mel's laughing as she nods her head. We treat you good, don't we? I lean in a little, wanting to get closer.
Oh, yes. You know I love you both.
And I love... Where's Leah? Did she leave?
I can't watch this. I'm like over here like, I can't even look at you.
She's gone from the screen. And I love you too, baby. It's just time you did what women do. I lick my lips and look back down at her pussy. Do you know what I'm wanting? Yes. I hear her swallow and a nervous breath follows. Come on, then, and stand up. Let me see your pussy. You've been getting them titties for a while now, and I know that cunt's still fresh. I've been smelling it for weeks now, and it's time to make use of it.
I can't listen to this. Oh, my God.
You guys know we run an audiobook podcast. What do you think they're reading?
Because it's ours. I know I wrote that. I'm going to throw... This is awful.
No, it's not. This is glorious, by the way.
This is...
Slowly, she starts to stand up, and my hand drops from her wrist to go to her waist. With my other hand, I push my empty plate away and move her to stand in front of me between my legs. Reaching under her shirt, I feel her warm skin tremble a little as my hands move to the waist of her panties. You're not going to fight me, are you? She shakes her head and bites her lips again as her cheeks turn red. You want me to see it, don't you, baby? She closes her eyes but gives a slight nod. I smile a little, thinking how she's probably young and horny.
I hate this book.
She's never had anybody touch her like this. I'm sure she's wanting to know what it feels like. I'll make it good for you, Tessa. Just put your ass on the edge of the table and lie back for me. I slide her panties the rest of the way off as she sits on the edge of the table. I push her shirt up, giving me a perfect view of her teenage pussy.
Oh my God. We're going to jail.
Push her legs apart.
We're going to jail.
Our listenership either just dropped or went up. She's got blonde curls down there, but she's as pink as a rose and sticky wet. I press my hands to the inside of her thighs and watch as her lips spread, showing me just how wet it is. God damn, that looks good. I'm going to have to taste it. Reaching down, I unbutton my jeans and pull out my dick, never taking my eyes off her pussy. Her sweet scent fills my lungs and makes my mouth water. Fuck, she looks fresh. I've never seen such a pretty pussy before. She's virgin tight, her opening barely showing as I push her legs further apart. I give my dripping cock a few strokes, looping it up. I can't stand just looking anymore. I lean in to get a quick lick of her pussy. She jumps at the touch, but I press her hips back down and look up at her. Be still, Tessa. You've got to do your chores now, and this is part of it. I lean back down and lick her pussy again. This time she doesn't jerk against me. She just lies still while I taste her. It's been so long since I've had a woman, and I intend to keep Tessa. She's going to give me whatever I want, whenever I want it. I'll make sure she's taken care of and that she likes it when I touch her, but she'll be open and ready for me as soon as my cock gets hard. I'm beating my cock fast. As her pussy juice covers my tongue and lips, her hips are starting to move with my strokes and she's getting louder. I bet she's never ever had an orgasm before and I'm about to give her one with my mouth. Little Tessa's first orgasm is going to be on her daddy's mouth.
God.
Sucking her clit into my mouth, I lick it fast and feel her tense up. My own orgasm hits my balls and shoots up my dick as her pussy starts to pop against my mouth. She's coming on my face as my cum rolls down my fist in thick streams. I just gotta get through this.
I can't. I don't want to hear anymore. When will it stop?
I continue licking her tight pussy long after I come, just enjoying the taste of her and the smell of her on my face. Giving it one last kiss, I look up to see her shirt has ridden up some, exposing her belly, and I give her a small kiss there. You did good, Tessa. Real good. Did you like that? She sits up a little, and I can see her cheeks are burning bright red. Yes.
Yes.
I thought so. You've got a sweet little pussy, baby. I think I'm going to need you to come back to my room for a little bit tonight. That's hot. She bites her lip and nods her head a little. Okay. Her personality is jumping off the page.
Can we make this end? Can we just burn this with fire?
I sit back in my chair, my dick still out, and cum still on my hand. I think you need to clean this up for me first, I say, looking down. You made this mess. Think you should take care of it. She slides off the kitchen table and hesitates for only a second before kneeling down in front of me. Her eyes grow big as she watches me stroke my still hard cock with sticky cum all over it.
Hold the shirt up while you do it. I want to see how big those titties really are. Tessa reaches down and pulls up the shirt, showing me everything. Her tits are full and her nipples are hard and pink, just begging me for me to suck them. Shyly, she licks her lips, then leans forward and licks my hand. I watch her boobs bounce as she tries to lick the cum off my fingers. I keep stroking my cock up and down. I should just make her suck my dick. But I like seeing her tongue chase the cum. I hear an intake of breath from my left and I look over in time to see Ty standing in the living room watching us with his hands down his pants.
Yes!
Smiling, I turn back to watch Tessa finish cleaning up. He can have his turn later. She's mine right now.
This is why I never read what we've written. That was horrific. That was my worst nightmare. I hope you're happy.
That was amazing. Are you kidding me? This was like one of the OG Alexa Riley fantasies.
I know.
And that you guys wrote because, you know, everybody wanted to read that kind of thing. It's like the porn you search for on the internet. You couldn't find it, so you wrote it.
It's true.
Oh, I loved it.
I just hear so much about that, I would change right now, you know, like... It would be so different now if I were to rewrite that scene.
I haven't gone back and listened to my early stuff, but I suspect it would be the same, where I just read it and all I'd see is the flaws.
Yeah,
but you know,
yeah,
like,
true.
Some of that is...
And changes as you get
it changes. Yeah.
It's true.
And, like, if you think about your favorite author and their favorite book, like, that first book they wrote was so unpolished, probably,
yeah.
You know? Like,
to be
especially
fair,
self-published
though,
stuff, because...
This is a couple
yeah.
years in. Like, it's not one of the first.
You're like, this was last year.
I mean, it was probably 2016. I mean, it was probably like 3 years ago, but yeah. Oh my God. Well, you did great on reading that. Like, solid
Thank
effort.
You.
Great job.
Okay.
So you want me to read yours now, or do you want me... Yeah, it's Friday.
Yeah. Let's
like,
read yours, and then we'll send them into the real narration.
A real one. Oh God. Oh, yours
the professional
is, yours
narration.
Is pretty short. That's how many.
I feel like it was 1,000 words.
Really? Like, I don't know. There's no way this is 1,000 words that you sent me.
Okay, let me see.
Make sure you send it all, because I feel like I read through it last night and it was way longer than this. But maybe it just looks different because.
It's 952 words.
Okay.
Let me just make sure the first word and the last word are the same as what I have sent.
I'm gonna give this a good effort. Like I said, it's gonna have a southern accent. I'm gonna lean heavy on that southern accent, so you're welcome.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so this is Follow by Tessa Bailey. My clothes stay on. I fall back against the seat and settle both hands on her spread thighs. You're the one punching the clock. One tick passes, two, until finally she grips the hem of her dress, hesitates for a split second, and pulls it off over her head. I vaguely register her tossing it aside in a red flash, but I'm too busy needing to fuck Tessa until she can't move. Or, no, it's Teresa! I was like, are all these
Whoa,
bitches
was that
named
a Freudian
Tessa?
Slip? Jing!
Fuck Teresa until she can't move after that. I've seen her bare thighs, her bouncy little tits. It has been voted on and decided that her face is the most spectacular part about her, mainly because it's so curious and suspicious and sly and charming and everything in between. But the whole package put together, she's a gift from God. I accept. From here on out, you're mine. Her hands freeze on their way to my shoulders. What? Pull it back, man. She's not there yet. I am, though, apparently, and my impulse is to demand that she get there, too. The unknown secrets between us force me to check myself, though. I want you in this body of yours on retainer. I slide my hands up her thighs, stopping at her hips to pull her close. If I call, you show up. No questions asked. You spread your pretty thighs on the couch in my office and wait for me to unbuckle. Right in front of my eyes, her nipples turn to even into tighter peaks. Her knees shake on either side of my lap. She sucks in a shallow breath, back to back. What do I get in return? Intuition tells me she doesn't want to hear what I do in real life. That I'd fall like a starving man on my knees and eat her pussy, not giving a fuck if my employees heard her shrieking for mercy through the walls. No. Right now, she's hot to be used, just like she told me, and I need to be the one who gives that to her. You get to keep the boss happy, whether it's on your knees or on your back. I tip my head back forward, back towards the stacked pile of cash. And I make it so you start wishing I'd call you twice a day, which I damn well might, because you've got a sweet young pussy on you. Isn't that right? Yes. I look down to find a dark shadow on the front of her panties, and knowing she's that damn wet makes me want to pound my chest. My dick is so full and aching, I'm about to break, to crack the fantasy in half, about to unzip my pants and tempt her to sit down on my cock with more of the filthy talk she so clearly loves. But she has something else in mind. Both hands lift, fingers tangling in her long dark hair. She looks me right in the eyes. She slowly pops her hips left, right, left, right. If she's challenging me to maintain eye contact, I fail after about 5 seconds, desperate to memorize the jiggle of her tits. Those rosy points turning my mouth into a fucking desert, making my hands clench where they've fallen on the seat. I don't know where to look because she's a goddamn feast of golden glowing skin and sex and jack-off fodder. Lust is coating me like sizzling oil pooling in my lap. I rake a hand down my open mouth, not surprised to find I'm breathing like a bull during a rodeo, and I do it. I finally let myself look at her pussy, and the moan that rips from me is almost inhuman. Oh, Christ, those sweet, wet panties are sticking to you, baby. I can see the split of your lips. She arches her back and moves faster, her knees sliding wider on the seat, bringing her mound within 2 inches of the fattening bulge beneath my zipper. I can see how bad you want to grind down on it. Teresa sobs, the swaying movement of her body faltering. Please, yes. My hand cups her backside, kneading the naked flesh urgently, roughly. No, not this time. Saying the word is painful, but I'm seeing the experiment through to the very end because she will know her need is fulfilled by me. And fuck, it's getting me off too because she's shaking like a leaf, whimpering in her throat like she can't take much more. I'm paying you to dance. My hands rain down a blow on her ass and she gasps. Keep your soaking wet pussy up in the air, above my cock where it belongs. Please, please, She grabs onto the seat behind her, her hips moving in tight figure eights, making her tits bob, her thighs flex. Jesus, it's getting hard to breathe, hard to restrain myself, hard to do anything but focus on getting her off. I don't know how I'm so close. If you could just... I reach between her thighs from behind and slap her pussy. Smack! Rolling her unfocused eyes back to in the back of her head. You heard me the first time. If you grind your cunt down where it hasn't been invited, your mouth is going to pay the price. Her knees try to squeeze closed, but they can't because my thighs are blocking them. We both stare down at her soaking panties straight through the pussy beneath. That swaying left to right above my brutal erection. What's the price? The price? The way she licks her lips tells me she knows exactly what it is. You're going to find out if you can't help being a bad girl. I can't, she whispers, hovering another inch. I can't. Ta-da!
Lowering another inch, yeah.
Yeah. That was so good.
That was good.
That's really good.
Yeah, that was really good. I like that chapter. So that's from the book Follow. And we talked about that briefly, right, where he gives her money for sex. Like, it's their, like, play, right? Like,
yeah, she has the secret kink where she wants to be, which she doesn't actually, she's never like explored it or even, I don't even think she was aware of it until him,
and he saw that
she wants, that illusion of being a prostitute or a call girl, a sex worker is the correct term actually, sorry.
<That's okay. laughs>
But yeah, she, so he just like, she's dancing for him in the backseat of
his
car.
It's a safe, fun way to explore something like that, though. Like, that's, like, to have that fantasy, that's hot as fuck.
Yeah, I have a friend who, like, that's, maybe, I don't know if she's but she has, I'm not saying her name, but she has a fantasy of being a call girl for, like, you know, like, an old older politician or something.
Stop
and
it.
Just, like, she thinks about it while she's, you know.
Taking care of business.
Yeah. And I have it. Now I think of it too.
Yeah, I like that though.
The power of suggestion. Yeah. So, but you know, it's just like kind of that feeling of just like being objectified. It's like something that's not okay in real life. But when it comes to like you wanting to be objectified, like it's your decision and you want that feeling and it's going to make you get you off. Like you
absolutely.
Should do it. Objectification's okay if you're on board for it.
Everything is okay if it's in a safe place like that. But that's just, like, that's such a hot scene, the way he's talking to her and, like, bossing her around. in the part, like, you have such a way of, like, describing things that I just love, the way that you describe stuff. And then when he says to her, like, your mouth's gonna pay the price, like, it's just, it's so good.
So, like, what happens is that she, I didn't want to go over 1,000 words, but she gives in and she grinds down on him, so he, like, makes a, he, you know, makes her give him a blowjob in the back of the car.
How much does it cost him?
How
much does he have to pay?
Just a huge stack of $100 bills.
Why does that turn me on so unnecessarily?
I don't know, but it's a few times. I think there's a little daddy in that book too. Maybe later on.
I am here for it. I love it.
Any of my self publishing stuff, I'm like, no one's telling me I can't do this. I'm like,
that's awesome.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and play the final installment of Grading Curbs by Naima Simone, and we'll catch up with you guys on the other side and let you know, like, what's on sale and stuff, okay? So enjoy, and bye.
Bye.
I slowly sink to the floor and tuck his underwear and jeans down until they bunch low on his hips. His dick springs free, slapping his lower abdomen. Damn. He's just as beautiful as I remember. Thick, virile, strong. With a low hum, I trace the roadmap of his veins crossing his stalk with my tongue, loving the pulse and throb of blood beneath. I've made this gorgeous, intelligent, talented man so hard that he growls low in his throat, so that his hands clench and release my curls, so that a fine shiver ripples through his large frame. I'd be lying if I claimed not to be proud of myself. Fisting his flesh, I arrow it down and feed myself his cock, inch by inch, until the head nudges the entrance to my throat and my lips bump my fingers. I slide off him and see I'd only managed to take half of his length. Taking him back in, I suck him off, my head bobbing up and down, leaving him glistening and wet. He remains still, all that raw power restrained, his muscles locked as he lets me play with him. I lick the big, rounded head, flicking the skin directly under the ridge. He curses, and his hips jerk, powering more of his length into my waiting, starved mouth. "You're teasing me, baby, and that gets you one thing," he grunts, gripping my head between those huge hands and pulling free of me with a soft, wet pop. "Your face fucked." It's the only warning he gives me before he strokes back inside, parting my lips and surging over my tongue toward the tight channel no man has ever breached. With a muted cry, I dig my nails into his denim-covered thighs and hang on. He takes my mouth tunneling through, using me to get off. I love every second of it. If I could speak, I would beg him to give me everything, not to hold back. And when his cockhead prods my throat, I force myself to relax, to breathe through my nose and let him have it. "Fuck," he snarls. Withdrawing, he doubles over and crushes his mouth to mine. His tongue tangles with mine, devouring me. I tip my head back, opening wider for him, granting easier access to me. He dives deeper, taking, claiming. Then he straightens, abruptly ending the kiss. Grasping my hair again with one hand, he wraps the other around the base of his dick and nudges my lips. Again. Once more, I open for him. And he thrusts inside, not stopping until the tip invades the entrance to my throat. He presses forward, and I quickly suppress my gag reflex, permitting him to have what no man has had. Tears sting my eyes from the pressure, and I swallow, eliciting an animalistic growl from him. He draws his hips back, and I gasp in air. "That's it, Woody," he praises. "God damn. You're so beautiful letting me fuck your throat. Let me back in, baby." I do. Over and over. And when his body starts to shake, and he shoots his cum into my mouth, filling it. I take that too. His harsh blasts of breath violently punctuate the air, his chest rising and falling. Lust stamps his face, glittering in his eyes, tautening the skin over the blades of his cheekbones, flattening the lushness of his mouth. But when he falls to his knees beside me and cradles my face between his palms, his touch belies that ferocity. With a tenderness that clogs my throat with emotion, he massages my jaw, soothing the ache from taking him. He brushes a light, almost reverent kiss over my lips. And once again, I'm struggling to breathe past the blockage strangling me. Silent, he tugs at the bow holding my dress together. In minutes, he has me stripped and lying bare on my carpet. Above me, he reaches behind him and removes his shirt, revealing the work of art that is his body. Ink in black, red, blue, and brown flows over skin and muscle, flexing with his movements. I could look at him forever and never get tired. I want to touch him, study him. But right now, I ache so badly. I desperately need him inside of me. "Teen," I whisper, "please." He removes the wallet from his jeans, then plucks a condom free. Seconds later, jeans and shoes tossed to the side, he sheathes himself and crouches over me, heart pounding. I can't lie still beneath him, not with desire incinerating me from the inside out. I reach for him, but he eludes me, ducking his head and shifting down my body. "You asked me for something," he murmurs, rubbing his lips over my nipple. Lightning arcs through my body, and I arch up into his mouth. "Did I? I can't remember anything when he's doing that." "Yeah, Woody." He draws the beaded tip in and sucks hard. "Oh, God." I groan. "Don't stop. Tell me what you need from me," he rumbles, switching breasts and treating it to the same sensual torture with his lips, tongue, and teeth. Oh, fuck his teeth. I break off as he brings his fingers into play, pinching and twisting. My thoughts scatter, but then a hard, deep spasm in my sex reminds me what I was about to request. "Inside me. Please, Dean. I need you inside me." "Where do you need me?" he asks against my damp flesh. "Say it. Where do you want my cock?" I know what he wants me to say, and despite lying naked under him, I blush, but I still utter, "My pussy. I need you in my pussy." His eyes gleam with dirty pleasure and lust. "You want me to fuck this pussy, Woody?" He reaches down, cups me, presses a long finger inside me. Just that sends my nerve ending screaming. When he finally puts his cock in me, I'll probably short circuit. "Want me to claim it, break it in so it only fits my dick?" "Yes, yes, yes, yes," I chant. He doesn't make me wait. Surging forward, he takes me in one hard, long thrust. I can't contain my scream, and my back arches hard off the floor, smacking his chest. God, I'm so full. Too full. I can't breathe without feeling him throbbing inside me, branding me. "Shh," Dean soothes, brushing my curls back from my sweat-dampened face. "Relax for me, Woody. I got you." He kisses me with gentle nips of my mouth, lazy licks against my tongue. "Let me know when you're ready." I nod, and he continues to kiss me, distracting me from that overfull sensation. And soon, the arousal that had been pushed back by the invasion of his cock returns in slow, building waves of heat. Dean is inside me, and the acknowledgement of that ratchets the heat higher. Rolling my hips, I gasp at the pleasure racing from my my pussy up my spine and back. Groaning, I repeat the motion, grinding and twisting. He hasn't even moved yet, and he's already enslaved me to his dick. Hang on to me, he orders, and cupping the backs of my thighs, urges me to wrap my legs around him. As soon as I do, he drags his cock free and I moan, trembling at the pleasure that lights me up. When he drives back into me, my moan transforms into a cry, and nothing, not past sexual experiences, not even having him go down on me, could have prepared me for the ecstasy that crackles and burns within me. His arms lock around me, clutching me to him as he rides me, plunging into me, claiming me, and breaking me to mold only to him, like he promised. Our hips slap together as if in war, but in total harmony. His grunts and my groans meld, mating as he buries his cock inside me over and over. Something this hot, this cataclysmic, can't last. And as he drives me closer and closer to the dark edge of orgasm, I fight it. I want to stay here. I'm afraid of how letting go will crack me into so many pieces I'll resemble a jigsaw puzzle. But Dean slides his hand between us and rubs his thumb over my clit, circling it and pressing hard. I'm gone. Lost. Above me, he stiffens, thrusting into me with hard, abrupt strokes that shove my orgasm higher. Together, we soar and fall. And in the end, it's his arms that catch me. Chapter 4. Nikki. I park my car a couple of stores down from the tattoo shop. It's about 4 o'clock and I came here directly after my last class. Dean's text, a brief, "Come by the shop when you're finished for the day," has had anxiety tripping through me since I received it a couple of hours ago, especially since he wasn't in class today. It's been a week since the night he showed up at my house and we made love, and I haven't slept alone since. He comes over late at night after the shop closes and when most of my neighbors' houses are dark. The need to keep this between us is still there, but it grates on me. I don't like treating Dean like a dirty secret. He's better than that, and I deserve more than that. My cell phone rings, and I pull it free of my purse. One glance at the screen reveals the caller's identity. My finger hovers over the decline button, but at the last second, I hit answer. "Hello, Mom."
"It's about time you answered your damn phone, Nikki,"
my mother screeches in my ear in lieu of a greeting.
"I know you've seen me calling and have heard the messages I left."
The "I'm sorry" dances on my tongue. The apology is instinctive. I've said it so many times just to keep the peace, even when I'm not in the wrong. But I swallow those habitual words down, refusing to utter them again. "I have," I agree. "Well, actually, I stopped listening after the 10th voicemail where you called me an ungrateful little bitch."
"That's what you are,"
she snaps.
"Everything I've done for you. I could have put you and your brother in foster care at any time, but I didn't. You owe me. That's what mothers do," I snap back. "They take care of their kids. They love their kids. They don't rob them blind. Did you even know what that money was for, Mom? A down payment on a house. My dream. You stole my dream."
She scoffs, and I can easily imagine her flicking her hand, disregarding my words.
"What do you need a house for? Besides, I had an emergency that was more important than some house you might or might not have one day. If you would have helped me out when I asked, I wouldn't have had to go to the bank and withdraw it."
"You didn't withdraw it. You stole it." I laugh, and it's humorless, pained.
"It was mine, Mom. I worked hard and saved it for 2 years. It wasn't yours to take. And you didn't have to call the cops on me. Your own mother,"
she shouts, and something clatters in the background.
"You're gonna come home, go down to that goddamn police station, and tell them you're dropping the charges. that you gave me permission to borrow it, and this is all a misunderstanding. You know. Silence echoes down the line, a stunned silence. And in it, I hear Dean's words from a week ago. You stopped putting up with her shit, Winnie. There's pride in that, not shame. Closing my eyes, I pinch the bridge of my nose. Mom, I love you, but you've hurt me too many times to count. I refuse to be your mark, your scapegoat, or your excuse anymore. And I'm not dropping the charges. Maybe at some point you'll realize that I'm not doing this to be spiteful. Maybe you won't. But I need to protect myself from you. Right now, you're too toxic, and I can't have you in my life knowing you'll just take advantage of me again. So I'm choosing to love you from afar. Goodbye. She's yelling as I remove the phone from my ear, but I hit the end call button anyway. There's nothing left to say. And for the first time in, well, forever, I feel free.
Dean. I watched Nikki through the front window of the shop. From her stiff shoulders, bent head, and an arm stretched across her chest, I can guess who she's talking to. Nikki's mother has blown up her phone every night I've spent with her. I hate the look that flashed in her eyes and across her face when it happened. Like she's haunted. Anger sparks inside me, and I force myself to remain in the lobby and not march out there, snatch the phone from her, and tell her mother to leave her the fuck alone. But this is Nikki's battle, and not only would she not appreciate me fighting it for her, I shouldn't. Still, I can have her back while she does. I stiffen as she slips her cell back in her bag and turns toward the shop. My stomach clenches as I study her face. No pain, no sadness. Relief courses through me, and even before she opens the door and strides through, I know she's won the war. You did it, I say, not ask, and I don't add anything more. Don't need to. She nods. Then, after several seconds, her mouth spreads wide in a smile, like the sun breaking through thick storm clouds. I shift closer to her, wanting to warm myself in that smile, feel her heat against me.
Can we talk?
She asks, glancing around the crowded lobby. Yeah. I press a hand to her lower back and guide her past the front desk and down the corridor toward the break room. After a quick scan to make sure it's empty, I lead her inside and close the door behind us. My palms itch to pull her close, thread my fingers through those beautiful curls and take her mouth, try to get my fill of her. And I say try because I doubt that's possible. She's a well that can never quench my thirst, but the only one that satisfies it.
To answer your question, I did.
She smiles again.
And for now, I blocked her. Maybe one day.
She shrugs, but there's no grief weighing down her voice, just resolve.
But when I hung up with her, I came to another decision.
She pauses. The unease coils inside me. I brace myself because I know what I'm expecting, but damn if I'm going to let her do it.
I'm going to administration tomorrow morning and tell them about us. I'll explain the circumstances that we met before I started working there. I don't know what their response will be, but I'm willing to face it. Sneaking around with you is no longer an option. You don't deserve to be anyone's dirty secret, and I'm not ashamed of you to be seen with you.
She thrusts a hand through her hair and exhales while I do the same, but for very different reasons. Mine is packed with relief and a joy that I haven't felt in years.
So, she continues, you should probably be
Nikki, I interrupt. She holds up a hand, shaking her head.
No, I've made up my mind about this.
Woody, I interrupt again. And surrendering to the need to touch her, I cross the floor and cup her face between my palms. You don't have to do that, because I withdrew from Wellington this morning and enrolled at the community college. It's why I wasn't in class today. She stares at me, her eyes wide in shock. What? She whispers. Dean, no. What about your promise to your mother? You can't just leave. Especially if it was because of me. I won't allow you to do that. No, baby, I murmur, bending my head and brushing my mouth over hers, lingering to dip inside for a quick taste. I didn't leave because of you. Well, not completely. I'm taking business courses at the community college that will help me here in the shop and for the place I want to own one day. And I'm still keeping my promise. I'm in college, but on my terms and still being true to myself, to my passion. I think if Mom was alive, she would appreciate that and be happy for me. But yes, I add, shifting until her breasts are crushed against my chest and our thighs meet. I'm tearing open my chest and putting my heart, my soul on display for her. I didn't want to give you up, and with me no longer a student at Wellington, we can continue to see each other. Woody, I don't know where we will end up, but I want to find out, and I know where I hope we will be. I don't give a damn about age, about you being my professor or ex-professor. I just want you in my life for however long you'll have me, however long we'll have each other. She circles my wrists with her fingers and holds on tight, as if I'm an anchor in a perfect storm, our perfect storm. What if that's a long while? Then that gives us more than enough time to catch up on all things Woody Woodpecker. She laughs, and the carefree, joyous sound of it echoes inside me. Lowering my head, I cover her mouth, tasting the laughter on her lips, treasuring it, treasuring her.
Hey, lady listeners, we're back.
Hi.
Wasn't that a wonderful happily ever after?
That's the best. This is why I love romance, for the happily ever after.
I know. And we're bringing it to you here every week on the Read Me Romance podcast. So we had a lot of fun this week with Naima on the podcast, and I'm sure in headquarters we've been like enjoying the heck out of her. She's like, she's really funny, and she's just like a really genuine human being. So I know you guys want more. Check out the Sweetest Taboo series. Sin and Ink and Passion and Ink are out right now. Her Lick series is in a box set right now for 99 cents. I'm pretty sure it's this week only, so make sure you click, click, click. And she's doing a big giveaway, so go to readmeromance.com for a signed paperback giveaway, as well as an audiobook giveaway. So
oh, yeah.
Yeah, she's bringing the heat, and I think that's it for now.
I guess that was all the books.
Oh, you can pre-order the ebook as well. You can pre-order the ebook of Grading Curves. So
awesome.
And I love that hero. Dean, he was amazing, honestly. And I love the heroine, too. She was great. All right. So I think that's it for us. Mel, do you have anything you want to...
Does Alexa Riley have a book releases? Out? Did we...
Probably.
I forgot to look. I was... Shit, I should have looked before we did this. I didn't even look at our calendar to see. So, yeah. Go get Alexa Riley book.
Well, if you're following us on social media, on Instagram at Read Me Romance, or on Facebook, Read Me Romance, or in Read Me Romance headquarters, we tell you every time there's a release from...
His Hostage is...
Oh, that's a good one. I had fun writing that one.
His Hostage? Yeah.
So this girl goes to make a drop. This guy wants her to put the money in a safety deposit box in a bank, and she goes there to do it. And while she's in the parking lot, she gets taken. So the guy that takes her is kind of like Robin Hood of the town, where he's like stealing the money from this rich guy and he's giving it back to the people of the community, because this bad guy's kind of come in and like run the town down, so to speak. And so he wants to have like the town he grew up in, you know, be back to like the way he loved it when he grew up. So he ends up taking this girl hostage, and then he's like, well, I'm not letting you go. And so it's about like them kind of being on the run and doing it. So, yeah.
Being on the run and doing it. That's awesome. Okay, so that came out today on the on May 3rd?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right, go click that, and Leah, tell them what to do.
Fuck your day up. Make sure you're a bitch. Don't be a dick. Bye.
Bye.
Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. Read me romance. You could take a look in a book, that's fine. Or you could sit back, relax, and unwind and read me romance. Read me romance.